Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. Today is Wednesday, April 15th, 2015, Tax Day. Calling number 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We're honored, delighted that you're here to share with us this space on understanding and integrating this ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness, something that is, in modern times, totally and completely new to the world, something that was disappeared, I'm not even sure exactly when, but centuries ago. And we're at a stage where the whole world has been fooled into thinking that forgiveness is about how I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, which when you really think about it is pretty ridiculous. You know, I'm feeling something inside my body, and I actually believe that somebody else made that happen in my body. I mean, when you're brought up believing that's the way it works, that seems sane, but if you step back from it for just 1 minute and you go, let me see now. This person didn't whack me in the head with a board, cancel the thought, or shoot me with a gun, cancel the thought, or kick me in the shins. And I'm feeling pain inside of my body. They didn't touch me. Actually, this person that I'm blaming for it, I haven't seen or heard from in 25 years. Well, actually, they died 25 years ago. But they're still because of my pain. It's my father's fault. It's my mother's fault. It's my former's fault. I mean, when you really step back and look at that, it's pretty bizarre and pretty ridiculous. And so recognizing that there is a technology, if we can stop our denial, if we can stop lying to ourselves, the biggest lie on the planet comes in three simple words: you made me. It's the relationship killer words, and it is the biggest lie ever told. Nobody can make you anything that isn't in you. But when you say you made me, what in essence you do is you tell your mind to paint a picture on the inside of your eyeballs that shows you that somebody else is the problem in your life, that somebody else could possibly cause something to move inside of you. Someone who's dead is causing something to move inside of you. I mean, think about it for a minute. And so when you recognize that there is a technology, and you know, imagine if you lived today in a world, for people who have computers, imagine that you live in a world where there is no virus protection and there is no virus removal technology. Imagine that's your world today. Excuse me. And how much time would you have to spend in working around these viruses that just come in left, right, and center? How much productivity, how much work would you get out of your computer? How much joy and aliveness would you get out of it? Be a tough game if there were no computer virus technology and there was no computer virus removal software. Well, if you live in the world without forgiveness, you're doing the equivalent of that. People have come to the point where they think, well, you know, it's just the way it is. I mean, you get a little rage, a little guilt, a little grief. You scream at somebody, you rage at somebody, you sit and shake in terror, and you talk about how they caused it and they blamed you, and you're only shaking because of them. Now, remember, this is the person who died 25 years ago. It's my father's fault that I'm shaking. It's my mother's fault that I'm shaking. It's what they did to me. It's like, excuse me. The virus removal technology, hostility and fear is a virus in the human system. And forgiveness is the virus technology that has been missing on the planet for centuries. You know, a kid who's brought up in a world with computers, that there's no virus antivirus software or virus removal software, you know, they would just think that, well, you know, you go to work for 8 hours and work in a computer environment, and you spend 7.5 of those hours fooling around with getting viruses out of the way so that you can get a half an hour's productivity done. And people would come to the point where they think that, well, if you get a half an hour productivity out of your computer, that's normal, that's natural, and that's a good day. That really works. And you look at how many people live in a world where it's like, well, you know, a little rage, a little guilt. You know, I only had 3 rage outbreaks today, and I only stuck my, you know, middle finger out 4 times at somebody. And so I had a good day. I actually, you know, spoke to my child, and I said, I love you. And so it was a really good day. Well, how did it feel to say I love you to your child? Well, you know, I love them. What do you mean, how did it feel? Well, how did it feel in your body? Well, I wasn't aware of anything in my body. I just loved them, and I said I love them. Yeah, but if you're not feeling that in your body, it's because there are viruses in your body that are removing you from the awareness of that physiological presence of love that you extend to another. And so we invite you to consider that, just like with your computer. You know, if I turn my computer on and my virus technology isn't updated, I shut everything down and go update my virus software before I even go online to download my email. And I've got a secure email server. But I don't go online unless my virus technology is updated. Don't go into the world. Don't speak. Don't behave unless you've run your virus software every day. Cleaned up your hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, fear, pain, drama, and trauma, and come out feeling in your body the active presence of love. That's how we're designed to live. That's a human plugged into a human life and plugged into the technology that keeps human life alive. So we're here to support human life being alive. And we're delighted to have you with us. And Dr. Tim, I hope you are well today. I look forward to hearing from you on the what's happened with the support group last night. And while you're talking about that, I'm going to go on mute. I'm actually on the road, finished doing workshops last night in Gainesville, Florida, and came down to Ocala where I had an appointment to get some work done on my van. And I've just gotten that completed, and I need to run in. I had a freezer bag with me that I left at a local grocery store. And so I'm going to listen on mute if you pick up from here, Tim, and run in and get this bag so that I can move on down the road.
All right, then.
So how do you be, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Oh, cool. Great. Tell us about the support group.
Another lovely support group last night. We watched the second half of the old version of Codependence to Interdependence. And it was, as usual, it sparked a lot of comments and questions, and the comments and questions were so active, we didn't even get a worksheet done. So we had lots of good discussion about what is this thing we're calling a power person dynamic, and is it the person who did it to me? Is it that's what's being active? Or is it an energy in me, and does it happen all the time or just some of the time? It was a very lively discussion, and for those who may not understand, the power person dynamic is a dynamic that gets generated inside my mind-body energy field, and it can happen any time there's somebody in my life who has more control over my life than I do, and they are not functioning from the space of love. And if I'm in that situation long enough, and if I buy into that, I develop the idea that I need to please this person in order to survive. And so I take my cues from this person. I take my cues about what will get them to approve of me, and I eventually change my definition for love into the definition for approval. And if so, if somebody that is my power person has more power over me than I do, if they're smiling at me, if they're giving me what I want, if they're congratulating me or thanking me for what I did, then I think, oh, they love me. And if they ever disapprove of me, I think they don't love me. And if I'm in that situation long enough, and I buy into it long enough, I literally develop an energetic pattern in my mind that stays with me the rest of my life unless it's actively removed, consciously removed. And that pattern results in the following, that whenever I'm in a low-stress situation, I will do the same kinds of behaviors I did when everything was fine with my power person, when my power person was happy and they were treating me well. When my stress level gets to a moderate level, I will immediately flip into the kinds of behaviors I did to survive and cope with when my power person was doing things I hated. When they were raging at me, or they were isolating me, or they were verbally abusing at me, hitting me, or whatever. I will end up doing the behaviors I did to cope with that whenever my stress level goes to a moderate range. And if my stress level gets to a very high range, I will immediately flip into doing to whoever is around me in whatever situation exactly the kinds of things that my power person did that I hated the most. And I will have every conceivable rationalization come into my mind for why I need to do the very thing that when it was done to me, I hated it. And when it was being done to me by my power person, or when it was being done around me, even if it wasn't done to me by my power person, I hated it and I thought there's no reason for this, that person shouldn't be doing this. And yet when I get older, if that power person dynamic gets triggered in me, I will have every conceivable rationalization for why I need to be doing it and why I'm justified to doing it. So we were talking about this in the group, and for a lot of people, it's a brand new concept, and for a number of people in the group, it's only their third or fourth time being exposed to it, and so they're understanding it at deeper levels, and they're having more in-depth questions about how does this happen, and is it, once I have a power person dynamic triggered in me, is it irrevocable? Do I always think of that person as a hateful person, or... So we helped clarify that the power person dynamic is not between me and another person. The power person dynamic is simply happening inside my mind-body energy system. And if I have a file or a group of memories, beliefs, sights and sounds and images of myself and life views that relate to the power person dynamic, most of the time when I'm living my life, if I'm a high-functioning adult, I keep that hidden from myself and for the most part hidden from others. But it's an energy, it's a pattern of thoughts, it's like the files on a hard drive that are always there to be called up. If they get called up, I don't have any choice in the matter. They're going to be in my experience. I'm going to feel those energies, think those thoughts, have those memory patterns come up. The choice comes in if I have learned to recognize that I'm responsible for everything that's in me. Just like you were talking about, Michael, in the intro, if I have retrained my mind if I have been reprogrammed from what the world has conditioned me to believe, and I now understand I get to choose the focus of my conscious awareness, and that literally creates my experience in the moment, so that if I'm experiencing anger, it's because I've chosen to focus on thoughts that produce anger. And or it's because I've had those old brain cells that contain angry thoughts or hurtful thoughts or painful thoughts or fearful thoughts, and I'm using anger to distance myself from that experience. And if I'm aware of that, then when things like the power person dynamic get triggered, I can step back, and instead of blaming somebody else for causing me to be angry or sad or scared or hurt, I can begin to examine where I might have learned this pattern and how I might have brought these energies with me into this very situation as an adult. I had an occasion just earlier this morning to talk with a patient about the concept of retraining myself to fully understand that I'm causing my anger, my fear, my sadness, my hurt in every moment. And I used the example of, we had talked in the past about how last August 28th in 2014, Michael and I were on the radio show together, and Michael said some things that resonated an old fear and pain in me. And I realized I was triggered. And at that point in my life, I had already been working with these tools for a number of years. And I realized when I got triggered, the most important thing for me to do was to stop talking and breathe and focus inside myself and not try to figure out why this is happening or who did it to me or what I need to change, but just breathe and quit talking, quit trying to do anything differently. And I pointed out that if I was to try to figure it out in that moment, as I sat here in my office, safe, comfortable, climate controlled, talking on the internet radio show to somebody that, for all the outside data would indicate he respects me, he likes me, and in that context I'm trying to figure out what's going on in my office or what is he doing that's causing me to feel this anger or this fear or this sadness or this pain, I would have been in a real, real conundrum, a real pickle with no good answer. I probably would have had to end the relationship with Dr. Michael Rice because there was nothing here in my office that was out of whack. There wasn't poison gas coming through the vents. There was no one attacking me, and yet I felt like I was having difficulty breathing. And the only thing that was different from moments before was the words I was hearing Dr. Michael Rice say. And if I was stuck in the conditioning of the world that says things outside of me, things people say and do and don't do that I want them to do, cause my pain and my fear and my sadness, we would have had a real difficulty mending that relationship. And I would have had a real difficulty finding any way to be comfortable because I wouldn't have looked for inside myself and removed the painful energies, the traumatic energies, the fearful thoughts, the sad thoughts. And so what we do in this work, what we do in the support groups, what we do with every worksheet is turn the tables on the culture's conditioning and retrain myself to understand if I have any upset going on inside of me, the cause of it is inside of me. And even though the outside events in the world don't always go the way my conscious mind wants them to, there is a system implanted in me by the Creator which can, if I invite it into activity, break off the effects of my errors in thought and guide me to truth and happiness if I simply ask it to. and it's got almost nothing to do with my conscious logical mind figuring things out. Although after the fact, if I've calmed myself down, if I've allowed inspiration into the picture, if I've kept the focus inside, I might then begin to see how I created this, and I might begin to see the logic of how I created my own fear and sadness and pain. So we were having discussions like this last night in the group and in my office just this morning, and I don't really have the words for all the gratitude about how well this has helped me in my life, and it's helped a number of other people who pick up the tool. So I'll take a breath and see if Michael has a comment or if Jeannie has somebody with a hand up. How are you, Jeannie?
I'm doing great.
My only comment
you.
is awesome. That was just an awesome window on the whole process. That's fabulous. Muchas gracias.
You're welcome. What do we got going, Jeannie?
Actually, nobody has their hand up, so if someone presses one, you're first in line. And the conversation in the chat along the lines of talking about the tools and I said, you know, different people have different ways of looking at things and saying things, different ways of wording it. But what this show is about is teaching these tools and that the tools do work. It's not saying that this is the only way to do things and to get to a higher place. However, it is a way that works. And so you maybe one of you has a comment towards that. I mean, just like, you know, Dr. Kim, you use this work, you use the Way of Mastery. There's several different things. Somebody yesterday was in the chat room and said it sounded like we were talking about, my mind just went blank, who they said.
Krishnamurti.
Yes, thank you.
we've talked about him and how his work is so similar to the realizations David Bohm was coming to, that David Bohm reached out to Krishnamurti and they actually worked together. So what's happening in the chat room that that you want us to address, Jeannie?
Well, you were talking about, you know, removing, that we go inside and we remove, which is what we teach, that forgiveness is going in and removing the anger, the grief, the fear, and things like that. And one of the comments was that you don't actually remove that, that it's always there, totally remove it. And I said, well, you are changing your attachment to it. You know, you've still got the memory of what went on, but there's no attachment, no emotional firing when that's remembered. But it is
actually
scrolling back up, and they were saying, you know, that it's transfusing it, changing it back to love, that it's, but so I think that some of the wording is the same. It's just, I mean, that the meaning is the same, but the wording is different. And I wanted to be clear, because we have several guests in the chat room, that anybody that comes to the chat room, you know, that while some of it may be a little confusing to them and they think that, you know, there's two different things being said, that this show is about teaching the tools. Not saying that this is the only way. However, you know, it's the Aramaic forgiveness is the only way that we have found that you can actually remove those things. And it, I believe it is a removal.
Jeannie?
I mean, the memory may still be there. Uh-huh. Are
Hello?
You not hearing me?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, I have a couple of thoughts. And one is, yes, it will remove. And I'll share just from personal experience. And I've only had it happened this way so dramatically once in my life, and it probably goes back about 20 years, and I had a conflict going on with someone, and as Dr. Tim was saying, I could have railed on and proved with my mind how it was all their fault, and I stopped and breathed and did some forgiveness work, and literally from one literal minute to the next, I went from totally knowing how and why they were to blame for what was happening. I could have explained it to you. I could have written a dissertation on it. And literally 2 minutes later, I could not even remember how I had rationalized that it was theirs. That it became so clear that that energetic dynamic was mine. And then over the years, what I found is that one of the markers for progress is that I'm in a situation that yesterday would have aroused all kinds of rage or fear or whatever, and I'm actually looking around in the situation with a little bit of confusion, like, where did that go? What happened to that, you know, response that I've had all my life? It's gone. Now, can I remember when I had that response? Yes. But the response is gone. It's done. And that when you recognize that it's a response, it's an energetic dynamic that comes from interaction with a power person, and you begin to address those power person dynamics. And it's interesting, you know, people will talk about their parents in certain ways where, you know, it's their parents' fault. And because they've never cleaned up their own power person dynamics, they're shocked when their children, they overhear their children talking about them, and their children are talking about them the same way they are about their power person. You know, and to recognize that every person has a power person. You know, we've all had somebody in our lives who wasn't functioning as love, that did behaviors that didn't really fit with human life, and we took those energies on. And so to recognize that if I don't do my work, then this person in front of me is going to tend to bounce off of what I hold, and I'm going to tend to continue to play out the same games. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool. Dr. Tim, any thoughts?
Well, the idea that these things never get removed from a psychological sense has been held for a long time. And I know that some schools of thought held that up even up until 2004, when neurological studies have now proven with brain scans and neuroplasticity and the ability to rewrite what's called memory reconsolidation, that literal neural pathways in the brain can be rewritten. And matrix re-imprinting and re-imprinting of memories or rewriting memories through hypnosis and other kinds of techniques has been around for decades longer than that. But I think part of what some people get into is a discussion about whether or not, like Michael was talking about yesterday or the day before in the Course in Miracles, the discussion is the world even real? And what is real? So at a different level, at a meta level, I know people can have a discussion and say, everything is God. Everything is this energy of love and creation. Everything is connected, as Einstein would say. Nothing is ever separate or separated. And so from that perspective, it makes sense to talk about how I don't really get rid of my pain, my fear, my anger, my sadness, because it was never really there in the first place. All that's ever really been there is the energy of love, and I'm in a dream state when I'm experiencing fear and pain and sadness, when I have the experience that I need something to make me feel whole and complete, or that someone just took something from me and now I don't feel whole and complete, I feel empty. So there's a way to talk about it from a meta perspective, which would make sense of the words, it never goes away, it was never really there. And I don't like to get too much into those discussions because I can't prove or disprove them. I really like to apply the tools in my life and experience the difference that a loving, focused, open, creative, gentle, accepting state is in my physiology, as opposed to the angry, fear, sad, hurtful states. That would be my input.
Yeah, and Tim, I use an example, I'm sure you've heard me use it before, of, you know, imagine that I have a business where what I do is I remove parking lots for people. And I get a call one day from somebody who says, I understand that you remove parking lots. I say, yes, sir, that's our business. He says, well, I don't believe you can do it. It's like, really? Well, I do it every day. Well, I don't believe it. I think you're lying. Well, why do you think that, sir? Well, I have a parking lot that I've been trying to remove from our business for 20 years. And every day we have five employees that go out at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're out there until 5 o'clock. And we've been doing this every day for 20 years, and the parking lot is still there. You can't remove a parking lot. And I say, well, sir, what are your five employees doing? We go out there every day with toothpicks, and we work at getting rid of that parking lot. I say, well, I understand that with the tools you have, you'll never experience those things being removed. And so, you know, people are going to be stuck in that and believe it can't be done. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people won't pick the tools up, because they've tried so many things that they have a premature cognitive commitment to it can't be done. And the truth is, if you pick up the tool, you'll see it happen. You know, with that guy who says you can't remove a parking lot, I'll send a bulldozer out this afternoon and his parking lot will be history. But if you don't have the tools, you develop beliefs, and the beliefs, while they seem to be true, you know, the guy who spent 20 years with five employees every day with toothpicks, he's valid in his belief that you can't move a parking lot with those tools. But if you have the right tool, and there is nowhere on the planet that I have found the tool of forgiveness, aside from the first century teachings of the Aramaic Yeshua and the Course in Miracles, which is a 20th century teaching from Yeshua. They're identical in their description of how to forgive. If you haven't worked with those things, I certainly understand why you think it can't be done. And my offering is, it can be done. Pick up the tool, try it, and watch what happens. It'll change.
Jeannie,
is my microphone okay, quiet?
Yeah, you're fine. You're coming through fine.
Okay, good.
And we do have a caller, but before I turn the caller on, I think sometimes too, and this is my own personal opinion, which may or may not be right, but when people start getting into all the metaphysical stuff and, you know, that the world's not real and that we're all one, and, you know, that may or may not be true, and like you said, you know, you can't, or maybe you can prove that, but you can prove when you use the tools and they work. But I think sometimes that is a way of avoiding, of looking inside, a way of, you know, saying, well, everything's just perfect the way it is, and we just have to love it, you know, instead of going in and saying, hey, something inside of me isn't perfect, and it needs to be looked at, and it needs to be fixed. And so sometimes I think that's an avoidance. And like I said, that's my opinion, which may or may not be right. We do have a caller.
Well, I think Jeannie, you're on track again. There's some interesting research. If you Google the CIA quote that I've been using, just Google CIA and intelligence, and what would be another good keyword to use with that? Active perception. Use those keywords, and then look through there, and they talk about perception and how. Once somebody makes up their mind, like they do experiments where they have a drawing of a house, and the drawing is, you know, 500 feet away, and so they have a group of people look at the drawing from 500 feet away, and they look at it, and they look at it, you can't quite make it out, and so somebody might, for instance, say, oh, it's a box, and then they move the drawing to 400 feet, and that person still says it's a box. They move the drawing to 300 feet. Now the picture's pretty clear. They introduce another, you know, three or four people to the experiment, and these people get their first look at this drawing from 300 feet away, and they all go, oh, that's a house. But the person who at 500 feet believed it was a house, that drawing is probably going to have to get to 100 feet from them before they will change their minds. I mean, that's the research. They call it premature cognitive commitment. When I believe something is true that isn't, the way that they speak about it on this CIA website is what they found is that once somebody believes something's true that isn't, that it takes an overwhelming amount of evidence to change their minds. And they're doing research in the context of they're trying to get intelligence agents to do the best they can with it. And one of the problems is if you get an old timer, you know, somebody who was around during the Cold War, and Russia raises its head, you know, raises its pinky finger, their premature cognitive commitment is, this is the enemy, we better go shoot him down. Where the new agent who's watching what's actually happening and doesn't have that old reality to overcome says, oh, he just raised his pinky, no big deal, you know, we don't have to be concerned about this. And so it's an interesting read when you start looking at what happens with this mind and how it can get stuck in a certain perspective that leaves us in trouble. So let's go ahead with our caller, sweetie.
Awesome. It's 828 area code. You're on the air.
828, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling? Is this Terry?
Yeah, this is Terry up in Nashville.
Hey, welcome, sir. How do you be? What's exciting
you what,
in your world?
I'm good. What's exciting is that some things have surfaced and hearing Dr. Tim and his dialogue this morning was so right on track. I'm right in the middle of kind of a power person experience between myself and a customer, and it's like, wow, I'm kind of lost in it. So I wanted to request a recap on the power person dynamic from you, Michael. I hadn't heard you share on that in a little bit, and I think that conversation at top is right on track for me if you got the space to do that.
Cool. Did you say from me?
Yeah, I heard Dr. Tim in a thing today, and then I thought that I'd like to hear your, just give me a refresher here. Okay.
Cool.
I'll look at the recap. Yeah, get a deeper level of understanding. So like I said, I'm kind of in the middle of this with
right.
My stuff being up and on. I think it'd be good for me to hear this. Yeah, and to connect to that energy.
A couple pieces there.
As far as health.
Yay.
Okay.
Cool. I can. Yeah, you're a little fuzzy off and on, but I got you. So the whole idea of the power person is to we come in this awesome active space of love. The truth of who we are is that we are literally living in a space of bliss, of ecstasy as a newborn. As long as, you know, the pin isn't, you know, sticking us from the diaper or and our bellies are full, we're living in this bliss. And then along comes a power person with their messages from their state of non-being, where the power person actually becomes the user. So when I have a painful reality in my mind, and I use you as the screen to project that painful reality, I say to the child, you made me so mad I could just shake you to death. And unfortunately, that happens. But the parent is a user using the child to avoid feeling directly what's inside of it that's painful. And so when that happens, messages are given to the child. The child messages develops a picture of the self that isn't. These ideas coagulate, are turned into a picture of a body that we come to think that we are. The moment at which we buy that we are what the power person just told us, and the messages are just, I mean, one of the most insane ones, Jeannie and I were doing a workshop a couple of years ago, and there was a woman who said that, who shared with us, we were having people share what their power person had said to them. And this woman had her father come to her when she was 6 years of age. She had a totally clear memory of it, and tell her that the family was absolutely perfect until she came into it, and that she ruined the family. So when one builds a picture of oneself out of that kind of message, of course, someone who actually believes in the power person is God to them, this child now goes through her life believing
that she is such a dastardly and disastrous person that she destroys families and functions as though that's true. Until she goes into her carbon-based memory and forgives those dynamics, her life is going to be limited to three possible behaviors. And the three possible behaviors will be based on the level of stress that she's under. The moment that one gives up the direct experience of the active presence of love, they are cut off this and ecstasy, and they go into the pain of the thoughts they've accepted from the power person. And that is a moment of the most intense rage that one will ever experience. And I believe that that moment is the moment that creates all diseases throughout our lifetimes, all poverty, all relationship issues. That's the moment where it all happens, and that's the moment that one needs to go back through. And if I assessed your voice and the way your voice tone usually is when you call in, Terry, I would say you're on the cusp of some of that right now, ready to move through that on a, you know, whatever level your vitality allows you to move through it. And what will the behaviors that will come forward out of that being active, that non-being self, based in the power person dynamic, are all controlled by the level of stress. So when there's no stress, there's an automatic decision system in there that uses the energetic patterns we hold. No stress, I will do whatever I did to get along with my power person. When stress starts to build, I'll shift out of doing what I did to get along with my power person. So let's say that with my power person, I was Mr. Happy. I was just, you know, always happy-go-lucky. Or maybe I was Mr. Snarky. In order to get along with my power person, I had developed a personality, a persona, which means mask, that had me be snarky with my power person. And, you know, that's the only thing that allowed me to get along with my power person. So 20, 30, 50, 90 years later, when there's no stress, I'll either be Mr. Happy or I'll be snarky as my natural course in life. You know, people run into somebody and they're just like, wow, that's a really miserable person. I wonder what happened to them. What happened to them is they had a power person, and that's how they learned to get along with their power person, and so that's where they live most of the time. Then, when stress starts to build, the automatic decision system kicks in, and it takes us to a different behavior. And so when one's at that next level of stress, they move out of doing what they did to get along with their power person, and they'll move into doing what they did to resist and survive with their power person. So the person who was snarky might have, when the stress started to elevate with their power person, in order to resist and survive, they might have just flown into a rage. Or maybe what they did is they ran and hid. So here's somebody who's out there, Mr. Happy, just rolling along, everything's cool. Stress starts to elevate, and all of a sudden they shut up and they disappear. It's like, where did Charlie go? Oh, his power person dynamic's up. He's gone. He's out of here. So that's the second level of power person behavior. The automatic decision system will kick in and guide us to do behaviors that allowed us to resist and survive with our power person. And then, when the next level of stress happens, the automatic decision system cuts in with a whole different behavior. And this is where they talk about multiple personalities and you see a personality shift. Because now what this person will do, the automatic decision system, having absorbed the energetic behaviors of the power person, and oftentimes the power person is a parent, so they received it genetically, and then when the power person puked it all over them, they had no choice but to just suck that energy in. And this is the kind of behavior that, you know, people say, I'll never do that again. It's actually the kind of behavior that you see a lot of times with alcohol. The inhibitors are knocked out, and somebody does things, you know, really outrageous things when they're drinking. And then when they get sober, they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry. I will never do that again. And they believe and they mean sincerely they'll never do it again. But unless they go into that power person dynamic in carbon-based memory and forgive that, the next time the stress is up and the chips are down, that's going to come up. And so that third level of behavior when ultra-stressed is will the automatic decision system will serve up prompts for behavior that has us do exactly what our power person did to us that we hated the most. And we'll do it to whatever object of attention we're pointing our stress at. In other words, we'll do it to whoever it is that isn't fulfilling our infantile goals. So has that kind of covered the field for you?
Yes, it does.
Good breath. What's happening?
It's a huge event here going on for me. It started on Monday evening. And this person is coming from their power. They had flipped into their power person rage, and I was just couldn't believe what I was experiencing as far as the attack. And the attack, you know, what I felt is an attack there, it tapped into some really, really deep stuff for me. Some heavy, heavy levels of pain.
Jerry, I'll just invite you to put into the context of this, of what's happening, is a week ago you were on such a high and such a new level of vitality and clarity that would only make sense if this next layer is up in your face.
I'm celebrating internally. one level is celebrating, and the other is like, wow, because the way that was so rapid, and the way it came up, and I was literally crying emotionally. I was my emotions just ripped open. So I was just okay with it.
Mm.
And it was such a shock that I was like, wow, this is something big here. And it's doing the right things, like you said, and continuing through this. But it's different than some of my previous experiences in this healing process, and that it's kind of this elongated process. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Yes. Do you recall when you were in that kind of sadness and pain and tears? At any other time in your life?
Well, it goes right back to childhood, real early childhood stuff, and some behaviors that when a power person would go into.
But do you have a specific memory? It can be helpful to go to a specific memory. I remember I was probably about 5 and... Can you look back in your memory and remember who was involved?
Yeah, I got it.
Good.
You want
to
hear it?
Sure, go for it. If it's appropriate to share it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it was around the same with my mom and her rage, the words that were used were they were awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Breathe. So you've got a whole community of people from all over the globe that are just spraying love on you right now, from whatever distance they are, vitalizing you and empowering you to get to the next level of vitality, just process this whole energetic pattern out of your structure.
So I'm just breathing. I'm breathing through this. Just breathing.
Yeah, good.
So it's safe and healing to go to the depths of sadness and grief and feel it. And you might let yourself be aware of where the energy is in your body that you're moving.
It's right in the center of my stomach. I've been aware of that for a while.
Probably pancreas.
My ear.
Didn't want to hear. I remember working with a guy who wore hearing aids for 60 years and got in touch with being about 11, and people called him Piggy, and he didn't want to hear it, and he shut his hearing off. And he didn't hear for 60 years until he got in touch with that.
The other thing you can do here, Terry, is as you're breathing, just firmly but gently massage your wrists, the front and back of both wrists, alternate one and then the other, and just be thinking that you're moving the energy through you, and just keep thinking the phrase, I release and let it go, and just keep the breath moving, and just keep thinking, whatever it is that's coming up, the anger, the fear, the sadness, I release it, I let it go, the pain, and gently massage your wrists, front and back, alternate one then the other, but keep the breath moving and just keep thinking, I release and I let it go.
Is there anywhere that would be helpful for him to tap, Tim?
Well, that's why I'm having him massage the wrist, because all these energy meridians come in through the wrist and out through the wrist, and if he does that,
right,
rather than trying to focus his thoughts too much, to just
tap,
let it flow and gently massage the wrist, he'll be basically giving himself an acupressure treatment.
Good. So, Terry, is there a goal that you can locate that you had for your mom in this situation you just touched into? Here's this little kid. His mom's raging at him. What does he want from mom?
I want her to love me.
So can you cancel your need for your mom to love you?
Yeah.
And if you look, what would the goal have been for this customer? Yeah. So you cancel your goal for this customer to function in a loving way? And then as you're massaging your wrists, ask Rukka to move the root of these energies, which are probably generational. You know, you've shared how some of that stuff has happened between you and your children. So it's probably a generational pattern that's been going on for too long.
I've heard some of my mom's horror stories too. Yeah, I understand. It's definitely generational.
So that step in the worksheet that says I'm willing to embrace all of the disease-producing energies for and from all my relations, all my generations.
Check.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's a shift in energy.
Yeah.
So where did your mind go then?
Stomach.
Yeah.
Where did my mind go? Me and you, some of our conversations around that, and how funny it was and kind of intense when I said check that box for a lot, the 1700 time, and my mind got really angry. Like, this is a trick. You've been tricking me. It's like, what rational person would check this box over and over?
Yeah.
Wow. So, big release in my pancreas there. I mean, literally, it's shrunk.
Yeah. Yeah. So just breathe into it for a minute and just let yourself go silent with it and let everything in your body soften. And everybody that's in our listening audience will do the same. We'll just be the space, holding love, and allow everything to soften. You know, it's really powerful when we develop the skill, and it's a skill that's been almost unheard of in human history, the skill to be able to tap into what energies are actually stored in what tissue, and to be able to decode that energy, which is what you just did. When we don't allow ourselves to decode that energy and literally reach in and scoop it out with forgiveness and throw it away, then what happens is we radiate an energetic influence that resonates or draws somebody to us to play that out. So the person with the decoder shows up. And it's not Dr. Feelgood when they do, because they come with the cosmic 2x4 and resonate those things big time. And it sounds like that's the gift this gentleman gave you.
It was a 2x10, and it was a woman, too, so it was very all right in alignment. I can't believe how much, I do believe.
So
I'm accepting how much my pancreas just shifted to change physically.
Yeah.
Nice.
So your blood sugar is probably going to be a lot different, and your digestion is going to shift in an upward direction.
Hmm. I accept
that. Powerful.
Yeah.
Well, we're down to about a minute. Anything else to share before we close out the show?
I'm just feeling good and very grateful. Grateful and happy. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to be here to support you, and we are delighted for the support that you give us. It's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Blessings. So, everyone, we appreciate you joining us. This is what an intensive looks like. Nice hit, Terry. Anybody's ready to do that kind of work, that level of work? We're starting an intensive on Friday, just a couple days from now. Jeannie's going to do a 9-day healing the whole woman, and that's what she'll be doing around women's issues. I'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and we'll be covering a whole range of material over a period of 9 days, including the still point breathing process, hands-on energy field work. So come and join us. They're going to be small groups, so they're going to be intensive. A lot of, individual attention with a small group that is smaller than we usually have. And so come and join us. And then once we finish those 9 days, for the people who want to go beyond that, we step into a 12-day teacher training. So thanks for being with us. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and create the best journey out of your eternal life. It's a great gift to give the world. Blessings.